time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
Can feel like, you know, you're under a microscope, and you can feel insecure about being overanalyzed for everything that you're wearing, every word that comes out of your mouth. And of course, just being young and a first time founder. And I think that the important thing to take away from that is that no matter what your age, no matter, again, if you're a first time founder, you're in your first year of business, is just normalizing what it is to be a woman in a leadership position instead of letting the insecurity take up the room.
If you're interested in gaining key insights and a behind-the-scenes look at being women in leadership positions, you're going to love today's episode with the co-founders of Dagny Dover, Jesse Dover, Melissa Mash, and Deepa Gandhi. So Deepa is the co-founder of the handbag brand Dagny Dover, and she's also the COO. Jesse is the co-founder and chief creative officer of Dagny Dover, and Melissa is the CEO and co-founder of Dagny Dover. We're going to be talking about some of the unique challenges that women can face in leadership positions, how Jesse, Melissa, and Deepa have overcome obstacles along the way, some insights into boosting confidence and building resilience. We're also going to be talking about setting healthy boundaries and also some key tips for boosting communication. We're going to be talking about navigating stress and the balancing of work and life. So Dagny Dover sent me three complimentary bags, and I'm super excited to start using them. They also provided me with a discount code for you, so you can use the code GREATLY20 for 20% off full price styles at Dagny Dover. This is for first time customers only, and it's good through the end of 2022. Now let's jump into it and welcome Jesse, Melissa, and Deepa to the show. Melissa, Jesse, and Deepa, super excited to have you all here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
My absolute pleasure. So to start, I would love to hear the backstory about how you all met, how you started creating this really cool, awesome brand. And then we can kind of get into the details about some of the challenges that you've had to navigate and how you're balancing it all with life and work and all the rest of it.
Sounds great. I'll start. So this is Melissa here. And all of us came from the retail industry. We came from different parts of the retail industry. My background was more focused on wholesale as well as store management. Deepa's, it was in inventory management as well as operations, and Jesse is a designer. Yeah. And so, you know, I'll just go way back to how we all met. In my last role at another company, another handbag brand, I was sent to Europe to turn around its first store at Heathrow Terminal 5. And it was during that experience that I saw that there was a real need for a new brand that was rooted in performance materials, that had high functionality, really smartly designed interiors, hopefully a better price point, and that really appealed to people like us. This was 2009 at the time. And I knew I wanted to design a co-founding team of three. One, someone who was much more analytical than myself on the business side, and someone who was a designer who would have the vision and who customers would be able to be inspired by and really connect with on a personal level. I went back to business school to, first of all, get my own formal business training that I had never had in undergrad, but also to find that founding team and to start building. And I went to Wharton because of its focus on entrepreneurship and its resources to support fledgling entrepreneurs. Deepa and I have been friends since 2007 at that point. So, you know, a few years prior to that. And Deepa was in one of my first focus groups when she started a year behind me. Deepa, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, it was exciting. So I went to Wharton the year after Mel. And as she mentioned, we were friends since 2007. So right after graduating college, my first job was actually in finance. And fun fact, I'd become friends with Melissa and she worked in retail and I was working at Lehman Brothers at the time. So I like got hired in the peak of the market and then was there as things really started to downtrend. And I was also unhappy, right? Like talking about like what makes you happy, what keeps you in a good place. I was like, just because I'm good at finance, just because I have an analytical mind, is this what I have to do? Right. And you know, I think 15 plus years ago, you kind of had went into more traditional careers, right? Like today it's so much, there's so many more opportunities on how you can flex your like strengths into different careers, which is fantastic. And so I was actually talking to Mel once and she was like, well, why don't I introduce you to some friends who work in the industry if you want to shift? And so actually it was through Melissa that I was able to move from finance into retail. And then a couple of years later, I was applying to business school. And when I was applying to business school, I stayed with her down in Philly. And all I wanted to do was talk about prepping for my interview the next day. And all she wanted to talk about was handbag problems. And then a couple months later, I arrive on campus and she's still obsessed with fixing handbag problems. I joined her first focus group and I called her that night and I was like, I'm in. Like this is needed. Like I get the product. We knew each other, so we knew we had complementary skill sets, which is really important and helpful. And I had a different idea coming into business school that was much more like back-end operations, like more related to the work that I had done in the retail industry. And this just sounded, frankly, more enticing, fun, exciting, right? Why do you work in retail? I work in retail to work with product at the end of the day. So we started running and haven't looked back since.
Amazing. And then Jesse, how, like, when did you come into the mix?
Yeah. So I came into the mix while Mel and Deepa were at Wharton. So I grew up in Colorado, on a ski hill, basically in a small town called Steamboat Springs. And okay. I was like sports all day. I loved art and design. I decided, in high school that I was going to start my own brand because I was like, this is it for me. I had no access, really. Ended up building my portfolio and applying to Parsons in New York and getting in. And that kind of like sort of catapulted me into design world. My senior year at Parsons, I won a design award at another handbag brand. Can I say it?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Coach. And it was really amazing, actually. I have nothing but good things to say about it. Ultimately led to me meeting Melissa and Deepa a couple of years down the road when they were at Wharton wanting to start Dagny. I met Melissa at a coffee shop and we like talked through all the product and she was like, she held up this like sad little bag and was like, I need help. And I was like, I can help you. This is like where I can help you. My ultimate plan was like, go to art school, go to business school. I knew I couldn't start my brand without understanding business high level at least. And then when I met Melissa and Deepa, I like fell in love with both of them and was like, you know what, this is like the perfect situation for all of us. Again, like we just kind of complimented each other a lot and we're all very like intense and excitable, I think, in a great way.
Passionate.
So we gathered around the idea and then started building.
Amazing. Okay. So the three of you are all co-founders, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm wondering, what has your experience been being female co-founders? Have you found any unique challenges, any obstacles that you've had to really overcome? And what has helped you? Like, what has really helped you get to where you are today? Are there any key things that you could share?
I think that there was a difference in being a quote unquote female founder back in 2012, 2013, when we were raising our first round, because there weren't that many of us. And not to say there are a lot now, but like digitally native brands were still a new thing, right? And there was still sort of an unclear jargon about like, oh, well, I invest in tech and e-commerce is technically on tech. So like, you know, like maybe I'm interested in investing in this brand when really it's not a fit. And so there was just sort of like a lot of everyone sort of figuring out what role they played and who was actually a right fit to even speak with to begin with. But of course, in those dynamics, we were speaking with, you know, older men who frankly aren't used to interacting with founders who look like us or who are our age or anything like that. You can feel like, you're under a microscope and you can feel insecure about being overanalyzed for everything that you're wearing, every word that comes out of your mouth. And of course, just being young and a first time founder. And I think that the important thing to take away from that is that no matter what your age, no matter, again, if you're a first time founder, you're in your first year of business, is just normalizing what it is to be a woman in a leadership position instead of letting the insecurity take up the room, right? And take up the space in the room and sort of be like the leading thing that everyone's feeling. That's not the world we want to live in, right? So I think the most important thing is like reflect the type of leader and the type of world you want to be created that you are actively creating instead of focusing so much on gender.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And curious, has anything helped you all as far as building that confidence? Because it does take confidence to show up at those meetings, to pitch, to build a brand, to market and all of it. So have you had your own personal journeys with that and anything that has helped you as individuals build that self-confidence?
I think it's just experience and repetition and being able to see it also in mentors or people in, you know, a few years ahead of us and seeing them do it and navigate it, then you know that we can do it ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jesse, Deepa, anything you'd like to add to that? Curious, has anything helped you both as individuals building confidence?
I think a big part of it is having co-founders, right? I often say, I don't know how I would have done this and we would have gotten here without having two co-founders, right? It's being a founding team is, it's like being in a marriage. It's like a relationship and you go through things together and you build each other up, but you also play devil's advocate for each other, right? And you support each other. And with us, I think that's always been really helpful as it pushes us forward. And when you have moments of doubt, you have somebody you can go to. And in this case, I have two people that I can go to that you can be absolutely vulnerable and open with and have the tough conversations with. And they understand exactly what you're going through, right? It's great to have peers who are founders as well that you're able to talk to. It's great to have, you know, your personal, like, you know, network of family or friends that can talk to you. But what's great is if I'm feeling something or going through something, Melissa and Jesse get it because they're in it with me. And it's been, I think, really important. And we've had our ups and downs, and we actually have an amazing leadership coach that we work with who also helps us through that process and, you know, helps us ensure that we are staying aligned and we're thinking about the future and we're looking forward and we're not letting the lows get us down too much and thinking about, well, how do you rebound? And it, you know, not to use a cliche term, but being a founder and being an entrepreneur, it is a roller coaster, but it's much more fun to be on that roller coaster and much better to be on that roller coaster when you have people sitting next to you rather than sitting by yourself.
Yeah, totally. And I'm wondering, as far as like building resiliency, I think it takes a lot of resiliency to be a founder and to stick with it. Mm-hmm. Has anything helped you or all of you as far as building that resiliency? Any key things or life lessons or things that you've learned along the way that have helped you keep going when times get tough?
I love this question because it's important and people often ask that. For me personally, and I think Mel and Jesse would agree with this, it's having perspective, you know, and perspective in many different ways. Perspective around what have we accomplished to date, right? If you're only looking forward or only looking at what maybe other people are doing, it can get very burdensome. Yeah. And you can say, oh, I haven't done this yet. I haven't done that yet. Versus saying, no, but look at what we've accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. I have one of my best friends. He's always really helpful when I'm in that moment where I'm like, okay, like, I don't know. He's like, but you've built this brand, right? You've gotten this far. And being able to keep that perspective is really important. And the other point on perspective is also always keeping in mind, how are we tracking, no matter what is going on, good or bad, against our long-term goal, right? Mm-hmm. So our long-term goal is to build this amazing brand that lasts for years, right? And that hopefully many generations are going to shop with and, you know, engage with. And whenever something happens, what I always do is I sit back and say, is the long-term outcome or our long-term goals, are they more likely to be achieved? Are we in the same place? Or are actually we putting that long-term goal or that long-term aspiration at risk? And if we're in the first two buckets, we're good. Yeah. Right? Like, let's move forward. We're going to work through this. If we're in the last bucket, then there's a conversation to be had, right? And that's where having co-founders is great because we work through it together. But having that long-term perspective and saying, is today going to change where we want to be in 5 years? And if it's not, then let's just keep getting through this because it's going to be tough no matter what, but we can get through it together.
I love that. I love the just keeping perspective, because sometimes we get so lost in like the muck of the stress of the day to day that for me, at least, I need time like away. I need like a moment to just like, all right, let the stress of whatever I just went through kind of get past it. And then I can see the bigger picture. And I think that's sometimes hard to do. But Jesse, Melissa, I'm curious, anything else you'd like to add to that as far as what's helped you with this resiliency with your brand and just in life in general?
I think for me, it's like very physical in a lot of ways. Like if I'm taking care of my mind and my body, then I'm okay. And I can like readjust my perspective and find reasons to move forward positively and like be strategic about that as opposed to falling apart and curling up in a ball. So I think for everyone, that's probably different. For me, it's like, I have to work out every day. And I have to take like at least small moments throughout the day just to like let my mind wander and be free. And vacation, honestly, even if I don't leave or go anywhere, just like time creatively just to like be experience things in just what's going on in the world around me. And then kind of think and be thoughtful about how I can apply that to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Melissa, anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'd say for me, it's definitely about, and we talk about this a lot, about like identifying the energy vampires in our life, right? It can be people, it can be situations, it can be certain types of work that we're doing, and trying to minimize that or trying to find ways to get through that more easily. And at least just being able, just identifying it, you know, is the first step to being like, okay, this is not giving me life and energy here. So, and being able to, again, try to balance it with the things that definitely do.
Right. Yeah. I think awareness is so key for that. And noticing, how do I feel after these certain situations, or noticing patterns, or maybe a certain time of day, people feel really drained. And it's like, well, what are you doing at that time of day? And how can you approach it differently? So I think sometimes we just get stuck in these patterns and like repeating the same thing day after day. When you have that awareness and you can kind of take a step back, then you can come at it in a new angle and then make the adjustments so that hopefully you can feel more fulfilled at the end of the day and in your life. So I loved all that. That was wonderful. Now, I would love to hear a little bit about your unique mission and what is kind of unique and different, and why did you decide that you had to make this brand in the first place?
Sure. For us, it was super important that we wanted to do things in a way that we hadn't seen before, right? We had all come from corporate backgrounds and we had seen some things that were really great and things that we definitely wanted to apply to our future business. But we also saw some things that we felt were areas of improvement, right? From whether it's like what leadership looks like, you know, working at retail companies where the majority of people who are working there identify as women, and yet all of leadership is men. You know, that was a problem that we saw. Or any sort of culture, like maybe it was a little bit top down, maybe it was a little bit fear driven. You know, that was something that we felt like, okay, as having been the little people, we want to make sure that people in our organization, whether they're interns or VPs, feel like they can contribute to a conversation and that their opinion matters, because everyone represents a different group of people and they're our customers and we care about them. So that's always been really important to us, that what we are creating is reflective of our values. So that goes from our leadership, that goes from how we treat our team internally, that goes from the types of give back initiatives that we pursue and that we advocate for with our customers.
I love that. And I'm wondering, for people listening, I've been having this conversation a lot recently about like setting healthy boundaries when it comes to work. And what you just described, like having a healthy leadership team, caring about your employees, that's so important, and having company culture that promotes that, promotes the well-being of their employees. So I'm wondering, what thoughts do you have on if there's an employee that feels maybe they're overwhelmed, or how can they say no in a constructive way? And how can they open those lines of communication to a superior where, in your opinion, it might be more well-received? Because I've heard a lot of people struggling with that. Like, I have so much on my plate, and I really want to say, no, I've got all this I need to work on right now. I need to make sure I'm sleeping. I need a little time to myself. I can't be working 20 hours a day, but I'm afraid to say no. I'm afraid to set those boundaries. So I'm curious, from the different positions you've been in and where you're at now, if you have any thoughts on that.
That's honestly,
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's tough because in particular, like in our retail landscape, it has been so up and down, let's say, over the past 2 or 3 years with COVID in particular, where there have been times, you know, it's often honestly still like all hands on deck to make sure that everything runs very smoothly. And that, you know, I don't know if anyone's feeling like incredibly balanced through this process. Sure. So things are really back to pre-COVID types of operations. I think just communicating how they're feeling, right? Like there's certain things that we can impact now. There's certain things that we can impact at a certain date and time. And being heard and feeling like you're being heard is kind of the most important thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think too, just like thinking through, like what I tell my team is like, if you need something, think through how to say it, what the solve is, and come to me with a few like solves if there's any problems coming up from the thing that you need. So I need a few days off. I have a plan for who people can go to. This is my project sprint, so it's going to get done. Don't worry about it. Like, and if they come to me with that, I feel very like, I feel very much like, yes, of course. I'm always going to work to make sure that my team feels, you know, inspired, like good about what they're doing. Because I understand that they have a life too, of course. And like, we are a team. So if someone's having an issue, we're all having an issue. But yeah, I think like just coming to it with a logical mind, as opposed to, I'm dying and I can't work right now and I have to take a week off. Like that sometimes can be hard to receive. It's like, oh my, okay. Like, what are we going to do? And so coming with those solves, I think is really helpful. And then I think too, something that's helped me is like, I got really into boundaries at one point, and it was like, you know, setting hard boundaries with people and like, no, yeah, like I can't do that for this reason. And I actually think that, what I realized in that journey was that like approaching boundaries from a more flexible standpoint made more sense for me and for the people around me. So, for example, like, hey, this is like, you know, saying to your boss or your coworker, hey, this is an absolute like deal breaker for me. Like this can't happen, or I don't work after 6 PM because I have a family, whatever your thing is. Great. Set those in place. And then for the rest of everything, like making sure that like you have a sort of a plan or expectations set so that you can have flexibility around the rest of your boundaries, sort of. I like to work on the weekend. Like that sounds crazy, but that's when I have space to think and do things. And some people I will not message on the weekend. Some people are like, yeah, message me. I just like to do stuff when I have the time and I can do it in the morning and the night. So I think flexibility is actually like flexibility and having those like deal breakers just set in place, has been something that's helped me work through like burnout, like meeting fatigue, feeling like you have so much stuff to do and so little time. And just like giving yourself a little break, cutting yourself a break. Yeah.
I love that. I think that it needs to be something unique for each person, because what one person needs or what they want, it's going to be totally different than the next person. So I love that idea of flexibility and having just understanding yourself. And I think a lot of it comes down to us checking in with ourselves. Because it's going to change throughout our lives. We're going to need different things. You know, families are at different stages. If you have little kids, it's going to be one thing. And then they get older, it's a different thing. And it's just, there's so many different moving pieces that I feel like this really needs to be a fluid process where individuals are just checking in with themselves and being honest with themselves, opening the lines of communication. I love all of that. And Deepa, was there anything you wanted to add to that arena? Anything that's helped you as far as setting boundaries, or what has helped when people have come to you with requests or trying to set those boundaries? Has anything been more well received than others?
So it's a little less on boundaries, but more about when you have a team. And I think one thing I think is really great is in the Dagny world, people feel comfortable coming to us when they feel like maybe boundaries are not being respected, or they're feeling burned out, overworked or tired or overwhelmed, which to Mel's point, it's been a really tough couple of years. But I think what is important is, and this is part of the boundary setting, whether it's for yourself or for your employees or your team, is understanding each individual and knowing what matters to them and what motivates them, right? And what they need. Because like I have team members who they'll set their own boundaries, and when they're coming, they want to be able to just vent and be heard and just know that I understand where they are, right? But they will go and take the time that they need and, you know, manage all of that. They don't need, you know, my blessing to do so. I have other team members who I have to push to say, you were supposed to take this time off. It doesn't matter what's happening at the company. Please still take that time off. You know, like I would like you to do that. And I think for everything, especially when it comes to some version of balance in life, it has to come from the top, right? You have to also see us doing that. And yeah. I think the three of us have gotten better with boundaries over the years. And I think if you see leadership setting those boundaries or thinking about their mental health, or also being vocal about when they're overwhelmed, right? And being honest and not just pretending that we're perfect and
yeah.
not being affected by everything that's happening around us. I think that empowers your team and also lets them know that I can do this too, you know? And I think for me personally, like the most important boundary is the one built for my family, right? Like when there's certain times that I'm online or offline and I have to address what's going on with my family or be there for my kid or things like that. And one thing that's really important to us at Dagny is just because we're the founders doesn't mean that we get that level of support and we can set those boundaries. We make sure the entire company knows that they can do that as well, right? And sometimes yeah. we do have to remind them. We're like, hey, we're putting out of offices to take our kids trick-or-treating. Everybody who's doing that, you know, really a reminder, like you should feel yeah. free to do that. And it's simple. You know, it's a very simple, small example, but we have to continue to reinforce it because at the end of the day, you're always balancing these big growth plans and big goals for your company, right? You have all of these things you're trying to achieve. But at the same time, you want to care about everybody. So it is a balancing yeah. act in one way or the other. And that transparency and that communication and then the understanding of each individual, I think, is extremely important.
Right. Now, I loved all of that. I think that's all extremely helpful. And some of the big takeaways that I just got from hearing you all share was, I loved, Jesse, how you shared, like, come with a solution. I think that's a really, really key piece. And then also just having some flexibility there and being able to open those lines of communication. And like you were saying, Deepa, where the leaders need to set the example. And I love that. So thank you all for sharing that. And at this point, we are kind of coming towards the end where I would love to hear if there's anything new and exciting coming out, anything in the works with Dagny Dover you want to share. And then we're going to do a fun, quick wellness lightning round where I ask you all a couple of quick questions.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been hard at work over the past couple of years on a lot of new stuff. I can't share exactly what it is because it's a surprise, but we are about to drop our holiday assortment soon. So definitely stay tuned, take a peek at our socials. You'll see the countdown and get excited for next year.
Love That's it. Amazing. All right, ladies. Well, I have two questions for each of you before we end. And why don't we start with you, Melissa? So first question I have is, what's a self-care practice that is a go-to for you? Something that could even be like a non-negotiable, like you've got to get it in to feel your best.
Epsom salt baths, 2 to 3 times a week really helps with I'm now just going to sound like old and stuff, but like, stiffness and just like flexibility, mobility, you know, it really does. It really makes a huge difference on how my body feels.
Love it. Love it. And then Jesse, let's go to you. What's your go-to self-care practice that's your non-negotiable?
I work out. It's boring, but I lift like at least 4 or 5 times a week. And it's just like, feeds my body, feeds my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a trainer or do you do it on your own?
I have an app that I really like. The name is, it's called Thrive. I guess I'm just doing an unofficial plug, but it's daily workouts, daily lifting, like routines, and super easy. They're like 35 minutes. And then I do a little cardio.
Love it.
And does the trick.
Love it. And then Deepa, how about you? Same question.
I think for me, it's getting some time to myself each morning is really important. And just using that time, whether it is to meditate or, you know, just have a cup of like tea and just have that minute, even if it is five, sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's a half an hour, depending on my schedule or how that morning went, but making sure that I find that morning time. If I don't feel that the rest of the day is just feels a little more like I'm just trying to catch up and make things happen. But when I have that moment or longer than a moment of calm each morning, it's really important to me.
I love that. Yeah. I feel the same way. Like sets the stage for the whole day when you have that time to yourself first thing. All right. So now last question, Deepa, I'm going to start this one with you. So knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
Oh, so much. There's so many pieces of advice I would give, but, I think this hits on something I said earlier. Take the time to appreciate what you've accomplished rather than just getting caught up in what you should be doing. And earlier on, I wouldn't think about, you know, oh, we had a full year worth of sales and we've done this much and there's this many bags out in the world and we've, you know, have this many, you know, people following us and excited about us and attending events. And I would just say, well, it could have been better. I've always had this, like, it could have been better. It's like my self-competitive nature. And you have to balance that competitive nature, right? Which is important. It motivates you. It pushes you forward. It'll, you know, it says you always want to move and put, do bigger and do better. But also taking that time to appreciate how far you have come and what you have accomplished is extremely important. So just like take stock of where you are and appreciate that and give yourself the credit that you probably deserve for what you've done.
I love that. And then Jesse, same question for you. So knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
Just be you. I'm like a little bit shy by nature and I like don't like to be super public about what I'm doing or who I am. And obviously the job that I do requires that a little bit. And I think when I was younger, I was like, oh my gosh, is this gonna work? Like, is everything gonna come together? Like, do people even like the product? Is it green? Like, is it green enough? Are we being smart enough about the materials that we're choosing? Is there, like, you know, all of those things. And I think that I don't know that I would have listened at the time, but someone been like, you're good. Keep going, be you, like say what you need to say, do what you need to do. You've got this, everything is going to be okay. Like you'll figure it out always. Would have been nice.
Yeah. That's great. Amazing. And then Melissa, same question for you. So knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
Yeah. I think similar to what Deepa said, like by nature, I'm just always someone who's very forward thinking and like, I'm just wanting to get to the next level and not really sort of focused on the present. And especially over the past 5 years, I've been like really appreciating and kind of mourning, you know, every stage that we've been through with the business and even just as individuals, where life with two kids now is very different than, you know, when I didn't have two kids, I could travel freely and do all the things. So really soaking in what each stage of your life experience is truly like, instead of, you know, wishing for something more, instead of looking forward to the day that whatever you have X, Y, or Z. Nothing, you know, everything is just so finite.
Right. Well, Lee, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time with me today, sharing all of your insights. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you. This was awesome.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.